Praise the Lord. Wow. Praise God. Hallelujah. I feel like just praising God tonight, honestly. I just praise God, exalt God, praise God. This is a praise God meeting. This is a praise God meeting. Enter his courts with praise. And then how about sing? Come before him with singing. Yeah, that's what we did in the beginning of the service. We were singing. Did you notice that? We were singing. We enter before God with singing. We have a lot to be thankful for. We praise God with our hearts tonight. Thank you, Lord. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to us. How about you? You could just say, Pastor Shelley, we've heard enough of you. We just need the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Could we turn it up a little bit? Okay, would you stand with me now and say to your neighbor, I forgive you. Okay. All right, now. Hey, how many of you would say that instruction, that piece of instruction, say to your neighbor, I forgive you. How many say that was a prophetic word? There's a lot of healing going on right here in this church. I've been waiting for you to say that. Okay, turn to Psalm 66, please. Let's pray. Father, we are serious before you tonight. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You have taken care of us. Some, you have healed us of our diseases. And you have forgiven us of our sins. You have redeemed our life from destruction. You have anointed our heads with oil. You have kept our feet from falling, our eyes from tears, and our souls from death. You have brought us into the house and honored us and crowned us with honor and glory. You have built us up in the faith, and we are learning and growing in it. Take these minutes tonight, this Wednesday night in November, and anoint it, record it in your book, for this is an eternal meeting with hearts of faith. We came and live this unique life by faith. We are serious, Lord. In your name, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You can sit down if you won't fall asleep. And you will not. Yeah, you will not. Okay, turn to Psalm 66. A couple short points to make. I was thinking today as I went for a walk and praying and thinking about the meeting tonight of the little things that make a big difference in life. The little things that we do, the small things that we think are not important, or the small things that we do, like singing a song, like saying, I forgive you, or saying a prayer, or putting a dollar in the offering, a small thing. And of course, we want more than a dollar from you. We want all of it, okay? Everything, okay? There's a story about Samson when his eyes were gouged out and he was arrested by the Philistines and put in the mill house, and they were torturing him. And it says a little boy, Samson said, where are the pillars? And it says a little boy put his hands on the pillars. And it doesn't say anything more about that little boy. But Samson pushed, and the house came down. And I was thinking, there are times when we need a little thing that will make a big difference, like a little boy. Another little boy, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and that's what he had. And Christ said, that's what I need. That's all I need. That's enough. In Luke chapter 16, it says that if we are faithful in little things, then we will also be faithful in big things. We have $10 as a steward of, then we're faithful. We could be faithful with a lot more. If you're faithful before God and saying, Lord, I am not a soul winner, or I am not opening my mouth as I ought to, I'm running in the routines of life, and I've stopped talking to people. I've stopped in listening to people. I've stopped caring about people. And in that little prayer, there is our Heavenly Father that hears, and he says, go by faith. Doubtless you will come back with joy and bring your sheaves with you. This is the holiday season, and sometimes we get buried with the immensity of it. Actually, in the election, in our politics, in our country, you could feel buried by all of this information or news or disappointments. If you would like to think of it that way, maybe, or it's so big and powerful. But our lives are not lived on those dimensions. We have found a secret place, a hiding place. And it does move mountains, and we can pray and get somebody elected. I believe in that. And we can give. I mean, look at this work that started 60 years ago in Maine with a vision 45 years ago to go into all the world with the gospel. And we started to go to church because the pastor was on fire. And he would teach us the Bible, not just like one chapter here and another one there and then a commentary on the social injustice or psychology or something, but the Bible was speaking. And I came from New York, and Scott Robinson came from Oklahoma, and David Bennett came from California, and God was bringing a group of people to this small town in Maine with a vision. And the pastor said, go to church. It's not enough to go once a week. You go twice on Sunday, go third time on Wednesday, and if you can go every day, go every day. And have high dosage of this Bible in your heart. Because if you don't, you may be filled with many other things. People are filled with a lot of knowledge today, but they lack conviction, wisdom, quietness, solitude. Loneliness is different from solitude. Like, I like to be alone, but I'm not alone when I'm alone because God is with us. We are not lonely. We are in the presence of God. It is a small thing in the eyes of the world, but it is a big thing in our mind to be in God's presence. Small things done with big hearts, small things that the world never notices. But God is in it when Ruth goes back to Bethlehem, when Esther is the queen in Persia, spiders in king's palaces. It's a small thing. Paul is smitten on the ground and he looks up. What must I do, Lord? God meets Paul and he becomes a man who does small things with the right spirit. With the right heart. God is checking him, leading him, correcting him, and using him. So 60 years ago or so, when Dr. Stevens started on this faith walk, following the paths of many others that have gone before, and he said, we need the Bible in our lives, a lot of it. And don't underestimate the day of small beginnings. Because if somebody is in the auditorium and the Spirit is speaking to them and is saying to them, I want to use you. Don't despise the day of small things when you get up in the morning and say a simple prayer for world missions. Or somebody on your refrigerator, magnetized, speaks to your heart, says, I will pray for them today. My prayers are precious. Small things that are not heard about in the newspaper and so on, but they make this thing work. This church that we are part of, this body of Christ that we bear witness to, that say that if we honor Jesus Christ in our hearts, God will honor us. Look at Psalm 66 with me, please. We'll just go as many verses as we can. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Ooh, Scott Chatton, Pavarotti. How can I sing? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Stir it up. Respond to God. Make a big deal out of it. We are free. We are free from our sin. Who cares about, and right now, who cares about the heavy things of life? Can I be stirred up and make a joyful noise? Verse 2, sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible are you in your works. Through the greatness of your power, thine enemies submit themselves unto you. It's another way of saying, God, your things are so incredible. They are way beyond what we could ever describe. To think that a man who is a sinner is able to go before a holy God and be heard by God. That a man who is a sinner, guilty of sin, all sin, James 2, verse 10, I'm guilty of all. If I've broken one, I've broken all of them. And now we are free. God calls us his children, calls us by name, gave us the Holy Spirit, baptized us into the body of Christ, now members of each other. These are great works. Verse 4, all the earth shall worship you and shall sing unto you. They shall sing to your name. I'd love to hear all the earth singing. I'd love to hear all the animals and birds and everything singing. I'd love to hear all the angels singing. I'd love to hear the whole church singing. I'd love to hear the expression of how amazing God is in praise. Praising God. How little maybe we do of praise. Praise God. No. Praise God. What? The tomb is empty. I had a great experience in Jerusalem. We went to the empty tomb, and our group was 48 people. And 6 people went into the tomb and came out. 6 would go in and come out. And the guide said they can just be in for a minute or two. So they would go into the tomb, and just everybody that came out, they were in tears. They were in tears. They were in tears. And the tour guide said this. He goes, before when he talked to our group, and he said, God shared with me, he was a man of God from Britain. He said, God has put it on my heart to say to you. He said, I speak 7 times a day, and you're one of our groups, and I can tell you're a happy group. And that was a compliment. He said, when you go in there, Whatever troubles you have in your life, leave them in there. He said, I had a woman come to me, sobbed on my shoulder, some time after he had said that, some weeks or months or whatever, she came back to him and she embraced him and wept on his shoulder. And she said, he didn't know why, but she said, 3 weeks ago, my son took his life. And when I went in there, I left it in there. I am so released. I feel God has healed me. I feel God is with me. I feel God is helping me. God is comforting me. I feel that Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. And though maybe we have not faced that kind of tragedy, but let us recognize that we serve an awesome God. And many times we are not enough like in tune with what it is that we're actually saying. That he is risen, that our sins are gone, that our name is in the book, that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and every single one of us are on a sacred mission. I know you know that. I'm just stirred up about it tonight and thinking about it with you. I'm just making my point. Look at verse 5. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Sometimes we see in our country rebellious people exalting themselves, you know, in the public stage, whether it's Hollywood or politics or wherever it is that might happen. But let it be. Let the rebellious, they may exalt themselves, but they have a lot of trouble coming. And no, it's already here. There's trouble all around people. And we don't have to worry about this world. It's God's world. We said in the men's dorm this morning, we had a prayer time with some of the guys in the dorm. And I said, there's 7.4 billion people in the world. And how many of them are cursing God? How many people are cursing God every day? And then how many curses a day does a person say? And multiply it out, and how many billions are there? And yet our God is in heaven. Our God is in heaven, has pity. Our God is in heaven, who gave his son. Our God is in heaven, who has patience and cares. Our God is listening to our praises. For our God is amazing. We are not living in reaction to the rebellious people that are in the world. We are living in a ministry to the rebellious people that are in the world. We are not afraid of the people that throw us in the fire. It's there in the psalm. Let's get a little bit further in it. We can read it. Verse 8. Oh, bless our God, you people. Make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holds our soul in life. And suffers not our feet to be moved. God has taken care of us. For thou, O God, hast proved us. You tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction upon our loins. You caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out into a wealthy place. It's okay if they get a hold of us and drag us through the water, drag us through the fire. It's part of our calling. It's okay if Jesus Christ is manhandled and nailed on the cross and put up for the world to see. It's okay because our God is a great God. Our God is the God of the last word. Our God is the God of victory. Our God that says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Our God is a God of spirit. Our God is a God of wisdom and a mind. Our God is a God of praise and joy and release and freedom. Our God has called us in, and he will bring us out. It's great. Verse 13. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay my vows. Could I say that coming to church service for me is a vow that I made many years ago in my heart before God? I realized that in the Spirit of God, I needed the fellowship. Could I say that there are vows that we make in our life about reading the Bible or having a devotional? And these are beginning steps for a Christian, that he starts to make vows before God in his heart. And I will pay my vows. I don't ever want to hold a grudge. I don't want to get old. Here's a good one I just, you know, that we think about. As I get older, Lord, help me from being grumpy. I will be, I think. But you could heal me and make me a lighthearted, joyful, happy, ho, 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 Santa Claus type of old guy. With a big white beard and a happy, jolly belly. A belly of jelly. And that's what I want. I want to be a wise man in the latter years, not a fool. I want to be a man who's found in my purpose and live in it. And I know that you know this, and we are living in it together in the body of Christ. I don't want to be a thief. I don't want to read bad books. Listen to this proverb. A bad book is a thief. A bad book is a thief. It will steal my time. It may steal my mind. It may steal my heart. It may cause me distraction. We could say the same thing about bad many things. But we have found ourselves stripped down to the simple and the wise and the fervent, and we care about people, and we make an effort to go out in the family season, the holiday season, and to share, go caroling in our neighborhoods and sharing tracts. I made a vow one time when I was caroling in our old neighborhood. I really didn't want to do it. Guys, you've heard me sing before. But I did. I got some cookies and I went, and I got a group of people together. We went there. First house, we're out there singing. College kid student came to the porch. I've told the story. Goes, who are you? We're talking about Jesus Christ. I am Jewish, he said. I am a Jew. I go, perfect. Listen to this. And we sang. And I go, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, I want to know about that. Yes, I want to know. This is the most fantastic thing I've ever seen. He was amazed. I'm like thinking, are you kidding me? Look at this. It's like next to ridiculous. But this is great. He said, wait here. I got to get my girlfriend. He goes in the house. He brings her out. We have a talk. I'm saying these things because little things count. Little things. Little people, us, are literally reaching out across the street and in many countries and places. We are not boasting in us. We are boasting in the ways of God. The value of a young man, the value of a young lady, the value of an elderly prayer warrior, the value of a dollar, the value of coming on a Wednesday night and making a commitment before God and believing that God has gathered us together. God is answering our prayers worldwide. God is putting it in our hearts. God is drawing somebody in from outside. Pastor Ray, how many homeless people that were, I don't know how to call them actually, last week that were here? that are no longer homeless. 9 people sat in this meeting Sunday night, and they were, yeah, you got it. They were without a home, and this man and his team goes out, and he brings them in, and ultimately, last night, 9 people were sitting here in church, and they're no longer without a home, but they have a new life. They have Christ in their life. Jesus is working that way. Let's finish up. Look at verse 14. Which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken, whom when I was in trouble. I would like to say I make my vows not when I'm in trouble, though I might. But I want to make my vows wisely, not under stress, but in the church, in the school, in the spirit, and in faith. And maybe, yes, when I am in trouble, for sure. But I believe it is saying something more. That we do this, verse 15, I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. Beautiful. Come and hear, children. I will declare what he has done. Come and hear, teenagers. Come and hear, unbelievers. Come and hear what he has done for my soul. What has he done for your soul? He made it light. He lifted me up. He set me on a rock higher than myself. What has he done for your soul? Given you comfort. Healed you, spoken to you, helped you, guided you. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. Let's finish with this. Say the name of God. Get alone. Be by yourself if you want to, because it's not about the word, but you can have a good old-fashioned hallelujah breakdown where you just start saying his name and you're talking about it. Wait, say, God, I wait on you. God, I need you to fill me. You say, God, guide me in my life. God, I praise you. I praise you. If I could sing, I'd be singing unto you. But I'm croaking unto you. I'm doing my best. God, it's true. Bible, stories, praise our God. He's an amazing, great God. I mean, listen to this. Do you know what the devil does? I have a great list here that I found that I want to just goes like this. The scriptures mention the following methods used by Satan. He is lying to us. John 8:44. He is tempting us. Matthew 4:1. Robbing us, Matthew 13:19. Harassing us, 2 Corinthians 12:7. Hindering us, 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Sifting us, Luke 22:31. Imitating the truth, Matthew 13:25. Accusing us day and night, Revelation 12:10. Giving diseases, Luke 13:16. Possessing some people, John 13:27. Killing and devouring, John 8:44. Satan has many things that... Now look at this list. He's not doing any of that to me right now. Oh no, I'm dancing on his head right now. He's not touching us. He's not touching me. I could care less about him. I pay little attention. He tempts me. That is not. He has no... Go ahead, give it all you got. I am praising God in the beauty of holiness. I'm standing in the presence. He made the Red Sea dry. That he gives singing and praise. That he fills the desert with roses and fruitfulness. He has anointed our head with oil. He has called us with a holy calling, and he's opened his word up to us and said, Christ has done it all. Now be not ignorant of the strategies of the devil to alienate you from the truth that is able to set you free, because it is the truth of the word of God that sets us free. We are not ignorant of his devices. We resist him. We say no to him. We do not speak lightly of him. You don't play around and make, you know, you don't, in Jude 8, we're not making light of him. He is serious business. We saw him for a second, we'd be horrified. But he is serious, but we are serious too. He is serious, I am too. I am serious too. We are people of the Spirit, people of the Word, and people of the body of Christ, and we are doing business for God. And you know what happens? In this atmosphere, in this fellowship, people are reinforced in who they are, in their identity, and they walk upon his high places, and they can't believe it, but I got victory. Luke chapter 10, when the 70 went out to preach, when they went out, they came back saying, what happened? Jesus, we could raise the dead. We cast out demons. It was amazing. He goes, piece of cake. That's nothing. Let me give you the best news you could ever hear. Your name is written in heaven. Woo! Man. Wait a minute. Jesus, we cast out demons and we raise the dead. He goes, yeah, I know. This is why I came. And you little people, you are the mighty ones. You are the great people. Oh, Gideon, you are the guy. You are the man. You are able. Because our God is not about you. It's about God and his glory and his work and his Son. It's about his Spirit and truth and about our victory and the body and the glory of God. It's about God getting praise. And we in this dark, cursed world, filled with cursings, are singing praises and glory to God on the basis of reality, that we see it in reality, and the devil flees from us in seven directions, said, I'll get back to them later. I can't be around them right now. I'll get back to them later, and I'll pick them off one by one best I can, because I am against them. And we say to him, we are against you, buddy. Hey, pal, hit the road, Jack. We're here, and God put us here, and we're on a mission. You got it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, we just praise you so much. We hardly can get our spiritual arms around the reality that God Almighty, the creator of the universe, came here in humility. And Mary, did you know when you touched your baby's face that you touched the face of God? And we are saying in a very much the same way, it is indeed unbelievable. It is marvelous. It's incredible. May these messages be comforting, encouraging, defining for us, guiding and leading us in a very, very troubled world with a bold message of Jesus Christ, and do this work much more than what we have seen, God. Turn people and fill this house and save and convict, persuade, forgive, and bless in your name. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. And could we agree as a body saying in the mornings, let's say our prayers, no program, but in our hearts, fervent prayers avail much. Real changes and things, good things happening through our country. Boy, that's what we need. And around the world. Okay? All right, that's it. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Amen.